are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Are you ready this morning? Ready for the Word of God? Those that are married, those that are going to be married, God's got a great future for you. Last week we laid a foundation and we saw that for any marriage to succeed, we have to accept the Bible as God's instruction manual. Marriage is instituted by God and it will only work if God is the center of that relationship. We saw that marriage is a permanent, unbreakable union. And again, for those of you that have gone through divorce, we realize and recognize that you've had enough pain because of that divorce. Nobody walks through a divorce unscathed, unharmed, or uninjured. We love you. We are for you. There is no judgment and no condemnation in the message that I bring today. I can only say one thing. Deal with yesterday. Forgive those who hurt you. Put yesterday behind you. And trust God to make you whole. Trust God to build in you something brand new so that you can live again and who knows, meet Mr. Right or Miss Right and be married again. Third thing we saw is that marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. God wants both parties equally committed to marriage. Now, I want everybody to shout this out today. Come on, this is church, so you can shout. I want you to shout it out today and say, marriage for life.
Marriage for life.
No, some of you are looking at me. Why are you looking at me? Don't you believe marriage is for life? Or you say, Pastor, we don't shout in church. Well, the Bible says, shout unto the Lord with a shout of joy. Okay, so don't give a shout of praise. Make a declaration today. Because there's no back door in our relationships. We are divorce-proofing our relationships. We are married for life. When we say I do, we mean I do until death do us part. So one more time on the count of three. They're in Pretoria, Johannesburg, East Rand, Bloemfontein, Welkom. On the count of three, marriage for life. One, two, three.
Marriage for life.
So let's talk about marriage for life and we talk about the foundation of a marriage. We know Christ is the foundation, but how to build. The Bible says get wisdom, get understanding. A lot of times people do things that are not wise. People say things that destroy a relationship. Let's see what God says in Ephesians chapter 5, 21 to 33. Many scriptures. Bible says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So that relationship starts with mutual respect. Everybody say mutual respect. No, please don't look at me. You're not a painting. I'm helping you this morning. Everybody say mutual respect. If you don't respect one another, there's no basis for that relationship. Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh covenant. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects the husband. The Message translation, please. I want to lay this foundation from Scripture today because people say many things about marriage. Every culture has a different viewpoint. Every tradition has a viewpoint. Every family has a viewpoint on marriage. Verse number 21, the Message Bible says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Courteously reverent to one another. The basis of the relationship. Not I'm the head and she's the tail. Remember when God created Eve, he took her from the side of the man. So she's not the doormat. And neither did he take her from the head of the man. So she sits on his head. It is a partnership a covenant relationship between a husband and a wife. That's why for young people courting, if you are going to court somebody and you don't respect the person, spirit, soul, body, intellect, he's not a candidate to date or to court. Say amen in Jesus' name. Come on, young people, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit. Every lady in the house say submit. Ooh. We're going to talk about the big S word today, and it's not sex. It is... You all sound so submissive. Will you just make my day today? Just say it again. Say submit. Woo! Brothers are going to be happy with that attitude. He says, so as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leaderships, wives should likewise submit to their own husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery. I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And that provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife. Loving himself in loving her. And how each wife is to honor her husband. So let's talk about this love and respect today. Fulfilling the number one emotional need in both the husband and both the wife. We're talking about divorce-proofing our marriages. We're believing and trusting that in this series, God is going to breathe fresh life into every relationship. And when you go away on holiday, if you go away on holiday by the end of the year, you are going to be like young lovers. You are going to be happily married, and the fire of love is going to burn bright, okay? And your intimate life will not be by the way. And your respect for one another will not be by the way. Because God's going to use the word, and God is going to refire you in your relationship. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. So when somebody outside the marriage begins to meet the emotional needs of one of the partners, when this happens, the spouse is drawn almost irresistibly to the outsider, and inevitably divorce shows up. Many fine people get caught in this trap without realizing why. They do not understand that the strong attraction they feel for someone other than their partner is just the result of the other person at work, at gym, wherever, meeting an emotional need which should be fulfilled by the marriage partner. When two people are meeting one another's basic emotional needs, there is a strong growing desire for complete physical relationship. Recognizing our basic emotional needs and seeing that it can be fulfilled without guilt only within the marriage relationship is vital for protection against any divorce. What am I saying this morning? God created the man a certain way. He created the woman a certain way. And those, both the husband and the wife, have certain needs. We call them emotional needs, which the Bible addresses. For the husband, it is the need to feel admired and respected. Not when he comes home and he says, honey, I've had a tough day. What's to eat today? She say, well, go to Kentucky and go get yourself some food. He's not going to feel very loved in that situation. So the Bible addresses these emotional needs in Ephesians chapter 5 very clearly. For the wife, her greatest need is to feel loved, to feel cherished. Is that right, ladies? Shout. Yes. For the men, their greatest need is to feel admired and respected. And all the brothers say, whoa. Brothers, you're leaving me a little bit naked on the platform, please. And all the brothers say, whoa. The Bible doesn't say a husband submit to your wife. It says wife submit to the husband. So if your wife's making you sleep next to the bed, we are stopping that today in Jesus' name. You have the right to sleep in your bed, okay? You're not the dog. So what does a wife need more than anything else? She needs love. She needs to hear that she is loved. The most important words you can tell your wife is, I love you, and you mean it. Not, by the way, I love you like I love my dog, or I love you like I love my sport team, or I love you like I love my favorite meat. I love you, and mean it. She wants to be assured of the love that you have for her. Regular proof, regular evidence is your responsibility. Like giving her things, writing her notes, sending her SMSs, making her feel that she is the most important person on planet Earth. She needs security, she needs protection, and she needs a home where she can live safe and secure. So what is the husband's number one need? Again, men need to be respected. They need to be king of their castle. Brothers are very quiet. They need to know that the wives really think they are the greatest, not I should have married Sam, or I should have married Dan, or you know, he can fix a light bulb, you can't fix a light bulb. And talk about other men as great heroes while you do not see the greatness in your own husband. Men need to be assured of their wives' respect, especially when they fail in some area. The worst thing you can do for your husband is when he makes a mistake is, I told you so. I knew it wasn't going to work. That's when you have to come behind him, respect him, and say, honey, I'm with you. We can start all over again. We started this marriage with nothing. We can start all over again and build a great life together. Because I never married the car. I never married the home. I never married your business. I married you. You are the reason I'm in this relationship. Come on, say amen in Jesus' name. So when you marry a man for a wrong motive, you marry because he's successful. You marry because you're attracted to power. You marry because of some other reason. You may come unstuck in that relationship. You find that one person that you respect, that you can revere and admire for the rest of his life. So love and respect are the two foundational blocks of any relationship. It is the oxygen we breathe in marriage. So husbands and wives must learn how to recognize that they are stepping on each other's air hose and respond appropriately. When a wife is careful to show respect in obedience to God, her husband will stay connected to God and teachable. When a husband shows his wife love, her spirit will be reaffirmed, then both will have the air to breathe. Both will feel this is a great marriage because the man feels he's the hero, he can do anything. And the wife feels she's the princess, she's the queen, she's more important than the career. She understands he works so hard because she's so important. He's not working so hard because he cannot stand the sound of her voice. Ow! Ow! Or that dripping tap when he comes home. Drip, 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 drip. The Bible says better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. So sometimes the best thing woman can do to show respect is to shut up. Because many ladies, when they begin to speak, they can't close the mouth. And it goes like, Tanya, I just want to talk to you about it. And now she can see. She said, I just want to talk to you about something small. But it's not small. She's been thinking about that thing all day. She's brewing. She's stewing. She's simmering. And when that mouth opens, that heat is going to come out. Be wise. Because the brother, when he's tired, will think, I'm not going home tonight. I'm just going to work a little bit harder, or I'm going to go to join the Rotary Club, or I'm going to go join something else just to stay away from that dentist drill that drill. Well, the dentists are so good today, I can't make the same analogy. But from that piercing sound, don't be a dripping wife. Don't be a nag bag. Don't be a simmering pot. Don't be a sulking pot. Be the beautiful woman that he married. Don't worry, a man's going to get their wait time. They're going to get their due next week and the week after that, etc. We're just helping the ladies a little bit today so that we can just put this submission thing behind us as quickly as possible, Pastor. So for the relationship to work, we need 100% commitment. What happens in marriages very often is conditional submission, conditional love, conditional respect, conditional love, where the attitude is, if he loves me, I will respect him. He needs to deserve my respect. Is that a right statement? No. Because the Bible makes a very, very clear statement. Wives, submit to your own husband. It's not an open-ended statement. It's not a statement of debate. It is a flat statement. It is an instruction. Wives, submit. Because remember, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100%. So the husband's number one need is to be respected. The wife's number one need is to be loved. So you have to love 100% no matter how your wife treats you, because that love is so powerful that it will win your wife into submission, as Jesus loves the church into submission. So you don't show her love and buy her chocolates and take her on great holidays if she does what you think she should do. Her emotional need is to be loved. The man's emotional need is to be respected. So when we play games, when we're not 100% committed to this relationship, the marriage gets lopsided. Because I love 75% and she submits 25%. God made it 100%. In other words, you stood before God and you said, I do. Not too late on say, well, he needs to deserve my respect. You need to go into that relationship open-eyed. And if you're in the marriage relationship, you need to know what will make that marriage relationship work and divorce-proof. So if you respect him the way he needs to be respected, when he comes home, you're not dressed in an overall or a tracksuit five sizes too big with polyfiller on your face and with cucumbers on your eyes, etc. And the only way he sees you when he gets home is you haven't gotten up, you haven't had your hair done, you don't look sharp and smart. So the husband comes home to that every day. When he walks into the office, he sees the lady coming in and saying, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Yes, sir. Well, she doesn't treat her husband that way. But in the workplace, there's an emotional bond that begins to happen because the brother comes home and all the wife does is she shouts at him. She's mad at him. She tells him it's better that you're not here. Why don't you go back to work? And when he walks in his office, there sits one of the ladies and says, "Goeiemôre, meneer." Conflict of emotion. That's why God says the way you're going to divorce-proof your relationship is be committed to do your part in the relationship. Marriages suffer when we are in a relationship by the way. I watch young couples how they do everything carefully to fulfill their duty in the relationship. And as years go by, it becomes by the way. And we're going to talk about intimacy. Because when intimacy becomes by the way, that marriage is heading for trouble. Nothing in that relationship that God places in that relationship can be by the way. You are building that relationship till the day that you go home to be with the Lord. It can never be by the way. What you put in today, you will reap tomorrow. Come on, say amen in Jesus' name. So God calls both parties to be committed 100%, that she would respect him 100%. What he does. He can come home late. He can come home with a bad attitude, because men sometimes do. Okay? Don't say amen, say nah. It's real life we're talking about. And she's also had the kids, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 4-year-old. All they do is, he's going on with his career. And she feels, I'm going nowhere, because now she's a graduated young girl, and all she does is look after children. And the brother says, I'm making the money. I'm the hero. Your wife enables you to make the money because she takes care of your children. So she needs all the love and all the respect when you come home to make her feel like a princess. 100% love, 100% respect. Let's get it balanced, please. Then both parties can breathe. And we divorce-proof that relationship. Because when somebody at work says to the woman, you really look beautiful today, she's already heard the husband say. And the lady will say to that man, will you please tell my husband that you think I look beautiful? Send the signal out there. Don't come and flirt with me. Don't come and talk to me outside. You have no right to tell me I'm beautiful. You can say to the husband, your wife really looks good. But your wife should hear out of your mouth, where are you going today? The brother should want to come home at night and not find a roller pin. Every now and again, mama should show the kids, if there's children, take some initiative. Make the brother feel admired. Make the brother feel wanted. Make the brother feel loved. 3 amens left in this congregation. It's okay, it's the truth. I don't apologize for truth. So to the ladies, God's instruction is clear. Ephesians 5:20, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, as to the Lord. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. 1 Peter 3 verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. You don't submit to all men. You submit to your husband. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conversation, the lifestyle of the husband. So if your husband is not saved, you don't go home after church and say, you carnal thing, you unspiritual thing, I should never have married you. You go home and you bake him the best meal. You go home and you bless him. You go home and you love on him. You will love him to Jesus as a wife. So the Bible says to the wives, submit, listen now, as to the Lord. Submit in everything. You know, I've got 2 beautiful daughters, 2 blondes, raised them very strong. And when men marry them, I say to Marno, this is a partnership. You will not dominate her. I don't care what your culture taught you, that the man is here and the woman is there. This is a partnership. So you better understand my daughter's destiny, and she must understand your destiny, because you form a partnership. And we're going to talk about disagreeing respectfully as a woman. Because it doesn't mean if you are married, you have no opinion. You also have an opinion. It doesn't mean your husband is always right. But there's a way to disagree, and the word is respectfully. He says, submit as is fitting in the Lord. And then he says, submit that your husband, the unsaved, may be won over to the Lord. So submission really means, the word means to obey, to be in obedience to put under, to be in subjection to. So it is an offering for the woman to obey. So when you marry that young guy, you better respect him enough to be able to obey him. That's why you need to look for the right thing when you marry a man. You need the right connection, the right attraction, spirit, soul, body, so you can respect the brother. Because it's difficult to submit to somebody that you cannot respect. And the man needs respect. He doesn't earn your respect. He's the person that you choose to respect. So submission is a powerful thing. Many women feel that when they submit, they lose themselves. Nothing can be further from the truth. Submission is the highest act of love that you can give your husband. It is a gift that releases him in the place where God can talk to him. Because in the relationship, he's the head of the union. As Christ is the head of the church. That's God's order. It's order. It's not a male hierarchy. It's God's order in the house. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving here today. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. If you die today, you don't know you will go to heaven. You sit here today, you say, Pastor, there's a stirring in my heart. I need Jesus. I realize my life is a mess. I need Jesus in my life today. Then I want to pray for you right now. He'll give you a new beginning. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God of new moments. If you will give yourself to him, he will turn your ashes into beauty. He'll make something beautiful out of your marriage, something beautiful out of your life. Listen to your heart right now where the Holy Spirit is speaking. Sitting in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, here in Bloemfontein. You say, Pastor, that's me. There's a stirring in my heart. Today I want to get back to God. I want to get right with Jesus today. Then all you have to do is give yourself to him. You need to pray a simple prayer. And invite Jesus into your heart, into your life. You have to come back to Jesus. If that's your desire, then I want to pray for you. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, you're in Bloemfontein in Pretoria. Forget your husband now. Forget your friends, your family. Listen to your heart. You say, that is my desire. I want to get right with God today. If that's your desire, quietly wherever you are, just raise your hand. I want to say a prayer for you before we close the service. Raise it up high. Raise it up unashamedly all over this building. Hands everywhere. God bless you, bless you, bless you. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Raise it up. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I want you to close your eyes, forget about everything, and just pray this prayer and believe with all your heart. All the people in Pretoria, in all our churches, everybody pray with me right now. As you give yourself to Jesus, say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I submit myself to you. I invite you today to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Please wash me in your blood. Forgive my sin. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I surrender myself to you. I give myself to you. Thank you for breaking the power of sin and the devil over my life and for giving me the power to be a true child of God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you that I am your child forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.